Okay, welcome back to Planet Sports Podcast with Matthew, Henry, and Jonathan. Today we're going to be talking about the MLB's plan to return to action in May and the controversy that surrounds it. This should be a very good discussion because there, like I said, there's a lot of controversy about playing in their spring training sites without fans, and so what. So we're gonna jump right into it, and Henry and Jonathan were having a problem. Henry, do you want to say what your problem was with having them play in Florida?
With this whole coronavirus thing, Florida is one of the worst states right now, and I believe it's not a smart decision. Obviously, it's not really a smart decision to play anywhere if you're too afraid to play in one place. But Florida is bad, and it's one of the states that's going to get worse still. And I think if it makes sense to play the games for everybody to play in Arizona, where it's not as bad, and they can still have the exact same divisions and not have to worry about realignment.
See, I heard a report that to continue following social distancing, they would even have players. Instead of sitting in the dugout, they'd be sitting in the stands with a seat in between each of them, which sounds crazy.
Yeah, I've heard that as well.
So, touching on what Henry was saying about Florida, the exact plan is to have each team return to their spring training sites. They would practice and do exhibition games for 3 weeks before the season opener. It would be, so how spring training is set up, in case you don't know, is 15 teams play in the Grapefruit League in Florida, and 15 teams play in the Cactus League in Arizona. So the plan is to have those 15 teams in newly realigned divisions in Florida, and then the new divisions in Arizona, and they would strictly play in that state. And it's just really weird to see. There would be no fans, obviously.
Yeah, it would be very weird.
And the thing is, baseball, although people watch it on TV, it's a big fan sport with people coming to the stands, trying to be the same
game. Like, I just imagine, you know how the players always throw up the ball after the inning into the stands?
Funny story about that. You see, so I was at a game once, and Jose Iglesias threw it up at a man on my dad's foot, but he didn't grab it, and the person sitting next to us got it.
Your dad didn't even... Did your dad see it?
No, but my brother and I saw it.
Obviously. They plan to mic up players more often, which I love that idea. I love hearing players mic'd up, and especially when there's going to be no fans, it's not... It'll definitely be better to hear the players talking on the field. So, Henry's issue was having them play in Florida, and there was a report earlier this week. A report by ESPN said that the MLB said it was having preliminary discussions about playing the season exclusively in Arizona.
Except here's the catch. Where are the places we're going to play?
There's a
in Arizona.
Team there has their own home stadium. And we'll just have to share it. This whole thing will be messed up anyways because they're not going to be because there's only so many stadiums and it's not going to.
Well, that's the thing in Arizona they would have 26 ballparks at their use that they'd be able to play in.
And when you think about it, you could take the Mets and the Yankees and the
Cubs and
White Sox share stadiums.
Right.
Same city.
Right, that's the thing. You would just have to have four teams share stadiums.
Giants could share, and the Dodgers and Angels, and that's for metro area.
And the thing is, three of those 26 are major league domed stadiums. Well, wait, I think
Diamondbacks play.
Wait. I have this wrong. So, I might need to clarify. Those 26 ballparks are not all in Arizona. That's split between Arizona and Florida, by the way. In case you thought they were all in Arizona, I want to make that clear. So those three major league ballparks, it's Tropicana in Tampa in Florida, Marlins Park in Miami, and then Chase Field in Phoenix, Arizona. So those are the three major league ballparks. So if you have to have teams share, you probably want to share the major league ballpark, which is good that they have three at their use.
Arizona has three major league ballparks.
Yeah, because haven't the Diamondbacks moved?
Arizona has three major league ballparks?
I thought that's what you just said.
No, that's what I'm clarifying. There are three major league ballparks within between the two states. There's two in Florida. That's Tropicana and that's Marlins Park. And then there's Chase Field in Phoenix in Arizona.
But haven't the Marlins, Rays, and Diamondbacks, have they ever moved and not destroyed the stadiums?
There's
also college stadiums which are almost at major league.
For example, the University of Florida has some of the best facilities in NCAA baseball.
Yeah, you can also use Arizona State, and you can use Florida State, UCS, Miami.
Yeah, so there's some pretty big schools in the States.
That's the thing. I'm sure they won't be using college parks. I'm sure they'll be using their own spring training facilities because these teams already have them set up with their own equipment and customized to their team. I'm sure that's what they'll do, except for the teams that have to share. I don't know.
Right now, within Florida, the teams that share, Red Sox and Twins both play in Fort Myers.
They would for sure share, right?
Cardinals and Marlins both play in Jupiter. I think, and then in Arizona, I think there's some sharing.
Okay. I mean, so then who would use the major league ballparks? I'm sure.
I feel like they would just rotate them, and for like big games, they would probably play those there.
I feel that the major league ballparks would probably go to the major league teams that play there.
That I was wondering that, but I don't know if that'd be an unfair advantage per se.
If the Yankees play the spring training in Tampa or Tropicana, where the Rays play regular season, is there? But the Rays play in Port Charlotte for spring training.
Yeah, I don't think that matters. I think they'd obviously probably take their if it's their, they'd yeah. probably still take their own.
Because the Rays own two facilities in Florida. Most teams only have the major league facility and the spring training and minor league facility.
So I want to touch on the divisions for a moment because they are very strange.
Oh, yeah. For example, the Florida North Division would be the Yankees, Phillies, Blue Jays, Tigers, and Cubs.
Yeah. So if you count that up, that's actually 1, 2, 3, 4. That's four different divisions from the real major league divisions that just got smashed into one.
There are two teams from...
From the AL East, there's the Phillies from the NL East, and then there's the Tigers from the AL Central, and then the Pirates from the NL Central.
Yeah, and then in the East Division, that was North, the East Division would be the Cardinals, Marlins, Astros, Nationals, and Mets. So that's NL East, NL Central, another from the NL, three NL East, one NL Central, and one AL West. Now, will there be cameras in the center field with the Astros spring training? Who knows?
I actually have a question for you guys. Do you think the Grapefruit League or the Cactus League has the overall better teams?
I say the Cactus League because they have the west side of the country. They have the Dodgers, they have the Indians, they have the Cubs.
But
they have the Brewers, they have the Padres. I'm definitely going with the Cactus
Then you look at the Grapefruit League and you see the Nationals and Astros literally paired right next to each other in their own division.
Three playoff teams in one division.
Right.
Yeah.
Then you have the Red Sox, Twins, Braves, and Rays all in the South. And you've got the Yankees in the North.
The Phillies, who were very underperformed last year, but I think they're desperate.
Yeah.
This does play for a much better run. Although they do, if the divisions are actually like how they would be in normal baseball, I think they would be in the toughest division in baseball, but that's besides the point.
Right, because obviously that's not where we're going to get this year.
Just like real life, the two worst teams in baseball are in the same league, but not the same division. The Orioles and Tigers are not in the same division, which means they will not be playing a lot. But they're still in the Grapefruit League, so stay tuned for some exciting Orioles-Tigers baseball.
Oh, another thing, in the East Division of the Grapefruit League, the Mets are there. The Mets are, in my opinion, also destined for a big run. They also play in the real-life NL East.
Yeah.
They have one of the best pitching staffs in all of baseball and a few young guys who definitely could make a big difference this year.
The Marlins, Tigers, and Orioles are probably the three worst teams that are in the Grapefruit League, and arguably the MLB. They were all spread out throughout different divisions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we've said what the South Division is for Florida. Red Sox, Twins, Braves, Rays, and Orioles.
Which is a very strong, that's definitely, I would say, the strongest division in the Grapefruit League. I mean, maybe the East, because they have the Nationals, Astros, and then there's the Cardinals, who are a playoff team, and the Mets. But I would say the South is the most balanced in strength.
Yeah, I have another question for you guys. Which team do you believe benefits the most from this realignment?
Yankees.
Well, the Yankees have a good spring training facility.
The Yankees, they get the Tigers in.
Not based on their facilities, based on who they're paired with and how many wins you think they would get.
Yankees, they're the Tigers in their division. They keep the Blue Jays in their division. They get the Pirates.
Yeah, well, you look at that. The Yankees. The Yankees have the Tigers, of course, like we said, who they dominate, and the Tigers are obviously the worst team in the league. The Blue Jays, they play 19 times a year as is because they're in the same division. So they, the Blue Jays are not a problem for them. The Phillies
aren't that good.
Mm-hmm.
Phillies, that's their own competition.
I think I would disagree with you guys, though, because I feel like the Yankees would, regardless of who was actually in their division, I think they are probably the best team in baseball, so I don't think it matters. I think it's actually, you can pick whoever you think is better. I think it's either the Padres or the Brewers, because the Brewers were in probably the most competitive division in baseball, as, like, any team in that division could.
And now they have the Mariners, Rangers, and Royals.
Oh, yeah, we probably should go over the Cactus.
You're right, We'll get there, but I like where Henry's going with this. He's not so much looking at the strongest team. He's looking at the Brewers, who just got a very strong advantage from the weaker division that they've been placed in now.
As well as the Padres, who would definitely not be better than the Dodgers in
the
real life.
The Padres are on the come up, and I actually I like the Padres in the same division as the Brewers. I think that'll be interesting.
This simulation that I saw actually had the Padres winning the division, being the number one seed in the MLB. They'd be the number three seed. They would beat the Cubs in the Cactus League Divisional. Mm-hmm. The Dodgers would lose to the Angels, and then the Padres would beat the Angels, and the Padres would lose to the Yankees in seven games in the World Series.
Okay, so the Arizona divisions are Northeast, which is Cubs, Giants, Diamondbacks, Rockies, and A's. West is Dodgers, White Sox, Reds, Indians, and Angels. And Northwest is Brewers, Padres, Mariners, Rangers, and Royals.
Yes.
Probably the most stacked one of those, I'd say, would be the West.
The West is strong, yes. You've got the Dodgers, you've got the Angels. The White Sox and Reds are both starting to come out of their rebuilds.
And the Indians are always the top team in the AL Central, usually.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, Rangers,
more than 100 games last year.
Like, I know the Twins are finally becoming good, and we're good last year, but the Indians are always good.
Okay, but they're not playing in the same division this year, according to this. So,
but the West of Arizona is extremely stacked.
That's what team do you guys think it's hurt the most here?
Hurt the most will help me. Probably Indians.
I was thinking that too, honestly, because they've always been able to dominate the AL Central, at least for the past couple years.
Well, the Twins really have recently been the only competition.
Yes, but now the Indians are in the same division as the Dodgers and the Reds and White Sox. They've been in the same division as the White Sox, of course, but they're going to struggle with the Dodgers, I feel. And the Reds, I think, are going to surprise people.
Do we know how DH rule is going to work?
They said the DH would be universal.
It would.
Oh, universal
that's
DH?
Interesting.
So
that's right away, that's a little bit of a disadvantage to NL teams. Not.
No, that's an advantage to NL teams.
Yeah, because they get an extra bat in the lineup. That's a disadvantage to AL teams because they aren't getting anything extra.
But they don't have to change anything. They can.
That's why interleague games gives the advantage to.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. Always benefits. Because.
But another question. Why don't we go through if these were the divisions? Who we think would be the champions of each division and the two wild cards?
Okay, so I'm gonna go on a bracket builder.
All right, I'll start while he's doing that.
Okay.
Out of the Grapefruit League East, I'm going to have, I'd say you could kind of say a surprise here because the Astros are in it, but I believe that the Nationals are going to surprise people, albeit the World Series champions.
Right.
For some reason, this simulation has them finishing in last, but I definitely don't see that happening.
I don't see that either.
I think they will, once again, be better than the Astros and win the Grapefruit League East. And quick one here, I think the Yankees will obviously win the North.
Mm-hmm.
But and in the South, I'm gonna go with the Braves here. You could
the South is very strong. It actually
you could
is.
Pick any team here. You could pick the Reds. I'd say there's four teams who could really.
Doesn't have a shot is the Orioles. The Rays, I have faith in the Rays. The Rays and Braves, the Rays, Braves, and Reds are like my three favorite young, underrated, on-the-come-up teams. The Twins obviously are strong. The Red Sox are strong. The Red Sox had a down season last season. I don't think the Red Sox win this division. I think it's between the Twins, Braves, and Rays.
I agree with that. That's why I did have the Braves winning. But for my two wildcard teams, this is very tough. Obviously, I think the first one's kind of obvious since I did have the Nationals winning the East. I think I'd have the Astros as the number one wildcard. But for the second wildcard,
I think it would come from the South.
A lot of teams here. But I'm going to go with actually the St. Louis Cardinals. I believe they have.
So you think that three playoff teams will come from the East?
Yes. I believe the East is probably the best division in the entire baseball league, this realigned league of baseball, mm-hmm. because also the Mets.
Interesting. I would argue for the South, but I can see where you're coming from.
And then in the Cactus League, I have in the Northeast, I have the A's winning this division. I think they were the second best team in their division before this happened, and now they benefit a lot from losing the Astros. So I think they'll win this division because this division is it's a very interesting division.
It's kind of weird.
And then in the Northwest, although I did say the Padres might be the team that benefits the most, from this realignment, I'm going to go with the Brewers here. They have, in my opinion, probably the best player in baseball right now in Christian Yelich. And I believe he'll carry them over some of these weaker teams and be clutch against in games against the Padres.
I strongly agree. I really liked the point you brought up earlier that the Brewers are getting very strong advantage from this realignment. Getting out of a division that they'd always been kind of straight with everybody, with the Cubs and the Cardinals, and the Reds now coming up, I really like the Brewers here, and I think that they're really getting a steal from this realignment. In the West, for me, this is hard. I think the Angels are not. They're out. The White Sox, I think, are going to have a better season. I think they're going to surprise people, but I don't think they can win the division over the Dodgers. I feel like the Dodgers win this division. I like the Reds, actually, as a wild card team from the Cactus League. The Indians, I feel like they're not going to get there this year. That's how I feel. They have a very strong pitching staff. But facing the Dodgers a lot, I think, will ruin their record a little bit with their strong pitching staff. That'll be a cool matchup to see a lot.
Yeah, I'm going to finish up here with the West. I'm going to agree with you. I think this is the Dodgers division to lose. They're the best team in the entire Northeast, or in the entire Cactus League, and should, in my opinion, obviously win this division. Mm-hmm. And for my two wild card teams, for the first one, I'm going to go with maybe a surprise here. I'm going to have the Padres. Not because I believe they are the fourth team, but because they get to play the Rangers, Mariners, and Royals so many times, I think they'll steal a few games from the Brewers.
I was about to say that too. I think my two wild card teams are the Reds and the Padres.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with the Reds, but I'm going to go a different route with my second team. I'm going to go with the Chicago Cubs. I think their division is also pretty weak, playing against the Rockies, the Diamondbacks, and Giants, and I think they'll also steal a few games from the A's, which will kind of give them whether they are actually the best, second, fifth best team in the Cactus League. I would not say that, but I think they'll take advantage of those weaker games that they get to play and be that fifth wild card team. Fifth team.
So, Jonathan, what are you doing right now?
So, I've made my basket, and I have the Nationals, I say, are going to win this. Okay, so from the fifth place are the Yankees, Astros, and Twins. They have them winning their divisions. And the Nationals and Rays as
well. See, this is interesting. We'll get back to what you were doing, Jonathan, in a second. But I was reading that there are many ways they can go with this. There could still be division winners and wild card winners, which we assume. They could possibly be adding two more wild card teams to each league.
Oh my! That would be.
Or it gets even crazier. A possible postseason tournament with all 30 teams.
Go Tigers!
gives the Tigers, Orioles, and Royals a little bit of a chance. So I thought that was really interesting. I doubt that'll happen. My assumption is they'll stick with division winners and wild card. I wouldn't be surprised to see them add two more wild card teams. But I would be surprised to see them go the route of a postseason tournament.
I don't think they could do it this year with the season coming up so fast.
Well,
I think it's hard for them to do that.
Obviously, this is going to be a once in a lifetime season. We're not going to see anything like this ever again.
Hopefully.
Yes, hopefully.
Knock
on wood.
That should be a funny thing. It's kind of scary to think of that.
This should be a once in a lifetime thing. We won't see a season like this ever again. But yes, I think what you were saying, Henry, I think is right. I think it'd be too much for them to do. Were you talking about the postseason tournament or adding two more wildcard teams?
I think the postseason tournament could be in for this year, but I think the wildcard thing, they mentioned that as being a permanent thing, and I don't think, like,
really?
The NFL, when they came out with the extra wildcards, and they came out with it in March, and their season doesn't start until September, and the MLB still hasn't even really talked about it, and their season could be starting in the next month.
Yeah.
Well, actually, we don't know when it will start or if it will ever start. Obviously, we're all baseball fans and praying some type of sport comes back, but it looks less likely each day, in my opinion.
So let's go back to what you were doing, Jonathan. You were filling out a bracket.
Yeah.
How did you set up your bracket?
Well, I did normal floor math, and the Yankees would be the Grapefruit League number one team because the Yankees and are good. I had the number two team being the Astros. I also in a pretty good division, but here's why. They're still playing at the spring training facility, which means the cameras are still installed.
How about,
okay, but I would actually have to ask him about because even with all the cheating around, they'll still be a good team without cheating.
How about disregarding their cheating scandal?
I would still have the Astros because they're a solid team. They have Zach Greinke. They have Justin Verlander. Their pitching's good. They have great batters, although...
They are a very strong team, yes.
You shouldn't blame the cheating, though, on the pitchers, although yeah, they didn't know yeah. about it. They didn't do it.
Right. Yeah, that did not affect them in any way.
Yeah, I'm saying they still have a strong pitching. Even if the batters were just good because of the cheating, they still have strong pitching.
The only thing the cheating would affect on the pitchers is their win and loss record. That's the only thing.
Yeah, a little bit, but other than that,
yeah, they have strong pitching, and I assume the batters are good. Even without cheating, like they're good on the road, and so they do have good batters. And my other division winner, I had the Twins coming from their division because they have a pretty good division where four teams are contenders, but I feel that Byron Buxton is going to just dominate. Because he's only 26 and has performed. He's been really good in the past, and this season, I would say, would become his first All-Star season. And if there is an All-Star game, I'd say he will be selected. He might even be in the running for MVP. But that's just my opinion.
Buxton.
What do you guys think the actual possibility of the realignment happening rather than just, like, putting everybody in, like I mentioned before, maybe putting everybody in Arizona and just having the regular divisions?
I actually think this realignment they have in Florida and Arizona, I think it's likely. The plan was to come back in May. Obviously, they need the okay from the CDC. We don't know how that's going to play out, obviously, because we don't dictate the virus. The virus dictates itself. So the CDC will have to confirm. But I do think the most likely option right now is exactly what we've been talking about, is the realignment within spring training facilities in Florida and Arizona. This actually leads into the next thing I would like to before I lead into what I was going to say next, let's go back and let Jonathan finish his bracket. So continue, Jonathan.
I had the Rays and Nationals as the two Grapefruit League wildcard teams because they're both solid teams, and the Nationals probably would have ended up winning the real life division. But the Rays, they're always stuck with the Yankees. And wait, no, the Rays aren't with the Yankees. What I'm talking about? Wait, are they? Nope, they're not. Who are the Rays going? Oh yeah, the Rays are with the Rays, Twins, and Red Sox. So that's extremely competitive. And that's my great league. And in the Cactus League, I have the Dodgers being the winning their division because they have Gavin Lux this year, which is a great addition to our already solid team. Oh, I forgot to mention, Kia Boom's going to play some more for the Nationals, and he'll probably be able to be effective. I have the Brewers winning their division. You know, I say it's going to be extremely close between them and the Padres.
Mm-hmm.
And I have the Cubs winning their division just because there's not much there except...
That's an overall weak division. Maybe the weakest in the league.
I still think the A's would probably win that division.
Which says a lot, honestly.
The A's and Cubs are both competitive, but I'm just giving it to the Cubs. I think they're just overall better. And the wild cards are going to be Padres, as they were feeling close to the Brewers, and I'm the Reds. Because they would probably contend for a division this year, except they're with the Dodgers in this new realignment.
Okay, so Jonathan, let's...
go to Japan.
Well, can you play out your bracket how you think it would go?
Oh, yeah, so I have the Nationals being the Rays in the big wild card, and the Padres being the Reds in the Cactus wild card. I have the Nationals being the Yankees, I have the Twins being the Astros, Brewers being the Cubs, and the Dodgers being the Padres. Then for the pennant, I have the Yankees being the Twins, and the Brewers beating the Dodgers. So a Yankees-Brewers type of World Series. With Christian Yelich, Nationals-Brewers World Series. Okay, so my World Series is Brewers-Nationals, and I have Christian Yelich leading his team to a World Series. Championship.
Okay. It's not a bad pick.
Very interesting pick.
Mm-hmm.
I would strongly disagree. So, in my bracket, my Grapefruit League bracket, I have the Yankees as the 1, Braves 2, Nationals 3, and then the wild card Astros, Cardinals, and the Cactus League, Dodgers 1, A's 2, Brewers 3, and then the Padres and Cubs in the wild card, and so the 2 wild card games, I have the Astros defeating the Cardinals and the Cubs defeating the Padres. So in the divisional series, I have the Yankees defeating the Astros in 5 games and the Braves beating the Nationals in 5 games as well.
I like that.
And then Cubs-Dodgers, I have the Dodgers beating the Cubs in 4 games, and Brewers-Athletics, I have the Brewers beating the Athletics in 4 games as well. So in the championship series, I have the Yankees defeating the Braves in 6 games, and the Dodgers defeating the Brewers in 5 games. And in the World Series, I do have the New York Yankees defeating the LA Dodgers in 7 games.
Huh. Not bad either.
There's also things that they haven't drafted.
I mean, right, because we haven't even started the season yet. Everything is still up in the air, so you can't really say anything is a bad bracket. But
and then even a team like the Tigers can make it if, for some reason, someone had, like Nico Goodrum just has a wonderful year.
Anything is possible, but I'm gonna move on now to another rumor that I thought was really interesting. From Tim Kirchen, from ESPN, he said that one MLB source told him 2 weeks that there was that they were going to be playing in Japan. Japan, I believe, has already started their baseball season. They've been playing already. And the plan would be that the Japanese league gets through their games faster. They would play at night and the MLB would play their games during the day. Which is kind of ridiculous. And he says, of course, he says, in the end, I think something ridiculous is how we're going to play the season if we end up playing. I don't know. What do you guys think about playing in Japan?
I think that would be good for the MLB because teams would start recruiting players who play in the Japanese league. Active recruiting.
I think it's a horrible idea because the whole thing is about social distancing, and this is bringing people across countries where we don't even know how bad it is in Japan, and Japan could just be taking an approach like Sweden, where just we request everybody to stay home, but we don't really care enough about everybody to do a full stay-at-home order, and I think it could backfire a lot, and the MLB players could bring a lot of these diseases back, or all of this disease back to the U.S. worse than it was before.
Yeah.
And I think if they're going to play the season, it's better off if they do stay in the country. And, like, the MLB still needs to make revenue if they're going to play the games, and I don't know how they could do that with working with their schedule playing at these weird times.
Well, Japan is actually one of the safest countries for this because they were the second country to get it. Which means it's working its course faster.
We don't know what the course is, though, Jonathan.
I quickly want to touch on the fact
assuming that
might change things, maybe. They, the Nippon Professional Baseball League, which is the Japan league, they have not started playing yet. They were set to begin April 24th is what they had hoped, but it is being the postponement is being extended.
Yeah, so I don't understand how bring an entire other league all the way out there when their own league isn't even
right. So I believe the most likely thing is that they play the plan we had talked about before between the Cactus League and Grapefruit League in Arizona and Florida. Beginning in mid-May.
I don't want to sound negative, but I think the most likely thing is just going to be that's not going to be MLB season.
I disagree. I think there will be a season. If sports do come back, it will be because of the economy, I believe. Like we said before, the CDC has to give the okay, and the virus is very unpredictable. But I do, deep down, I believe it may just be hope, but I believe that the MLB season will eventually start up, and they will play some form.
It's so hard to tell. You can't predict this kind of stuff right now. We're not expert scientists, and we can't predict when the stuff is gonna go back to normal.
So do you have any other notes you want to touch on the MLB's plan to return?
Not about the plan to return, but I'd like to talk about something they're doing in the meantime with the MLB The Show 20 Players Tournament.
Okay, I have a couple things I want to touch on real quick, too. So, you do that, and then I'm going to hit a little draft rumor that I heard this morning. So, go on.
So, it's a league of 30 guys, one from each team, and they are doing MLB The Show, playing video games. And it's led by Trevor May is leading it, and he organized a player from each team. So the playoffs, there's some small names, but there's also some big names. Like Blake Snell is doing it, Tommy Conley, Lucas Giolito, Carlos Santana, Nico Goodrum, Joey Gallo is experiencing playing in the Rangers' new stadium virtually. It's supposed to open the season, but instead he needs to do it online. Jesus Lozardo, Bruce McCullers, Jeff McNeil, Reese Hoskins, Juan Soto, Josh Hader, Fernando Tatis, Gavin Lux, David Vaught, and Hunter Pence. Those are the big names that are playing. Hunter Pence is the oldest player, and I think Gavin Lux is the youngest player.
Have they started? Oh, yeah, because I remember Goodrum hit a walk-off or something.
Nico, okay. There was only one undefeated person who's played a game so far, and that is Joey Gallo at 4-0. He's probably just using himself to hit home runs.
That sounds like a good strategy.
He really is one of the best players to use in MLB The Show. And the players that have no wins and have played a lot of games are Ryan Stanek is 0-4 and Eduardo Rodriguez is 0-4. But interesting fact, Carlos Santana, he destroyed his teammates' TVs after they were playing video games instead of practicing, and now he's the one playing video games, so expect his TV to be destroyed eventually by a teammate. And that's the report about the MLB Players League.
Yes, thank you for that, Jonathan. I would like to touch real quickly on a series I would like to start that we may do at the end of each podcast, which is where we talk about history in today's sports on this day in history. Shibe Park, where the Phillies and the A's opened up on April 13th on this day, which is really interesting. It's a very famous stadium. Walter Johnson at age 38 in 1926 pitches his seventh opening day shutout on this day.
And also in 1933, it was the Stanley Cup with the Rangers being the Maple Leafs.
Mm-hmm.
That was back when it was just 6-16, so much simpler time. And also, it was the first game of Milwaukee Braves, because the Braves have relocated a lot. It was their first game, and also Hank. And a year later, it was Hank Aaron's first game in 1954, which is also when the Orioles started.
And then one more. For any pole vaulters out there, Cornelius Warmerdam became the first man to pole vault 15 feet.
There's also Stan Musial broke the run record of 1,869 in 1962.
I didn't know that. That's pretty cool.
Peach Rose becomes first NL player to get 4,000 hits in 84.
So, before we conclude today's podcast, I want to mention a draft rumor I heard this morning that said Giants insiders have pretty much confirmed that it is almost a lock that the Giants will take a tackle at pick number 4.
That is very interesting.
Bye-bye, quarterback chance.
Because the rumor I heard about a week ago was that the Giants would take Simmons. And now the tables have turned. And I disagreed with both of you. And I said that they would take Simmons. But I'm wrong.
Oh, how the turntables.
Yes, oh, how the turntables, Michael Scott. I thought that was very interesting. You think that'll be Thomas?
Yeah.
I could see any of like the top four or five tackles.
Probably Thomas, Wirfs, Willis, Becton.
That's probably it.
All those guys.
Yeah. So yeah, that was my one draft rumor I wanted to say. Thought that was really cool. So with that, unless you guys have anything else to add,
no, I think we're good.
I think that concludes today's podcast. Thank you for listening, and please tune in next time. Where I believe next on our schedule is we're going to talk about expansion teams. And then on Thursday, we're going to talk about our thoughts on a college football playoff expansion.
And also conference realignment.
Yes.
The next wave is probably going to be around 2023-ish, because that's when the power conferences have their TV contracts expire.
So yeah, that's our plan. So thank you, and have a good day. That concludes our podcast.